years old, ain't you? You're 8 years old, ain't you? Now you just think when he turns about 16. I've heard him from 4 and 5, and I see the improvement, and I'm grateful that he's developing a talent for the Lord. Ain't that that ought to encourage and challenge everybody? Amen. I appreciate that. This morning's come time for our second message. It's good to have Brother Keith Allison. He's an evangelist from Demorest, Georgia, and appreciate this man of God. He has blessed our hearts in the past here at camp meeting, and it's good to have he and Miss Carolyn with us. And I felt like he ought to preach for us about 30 minutes this morning, and we'll have a little more singing. I want Miss Peggy to be ready to sing for us at the end of the message, and you hear him gladly this morning. I love you. Amen.
God bless you. We'll open our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter number 11. I want to thank the brother for the good preaching that we've just heard. Amen. It's a blessing. We've been here since the Monday morning service. Thank you, brother. And it's just been great. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have this oasis to come to and get revived up a little bit? Amen. And I echo everything that Brother Marcus said, an appreciation for all the kindness and the hospitality and everything in making us feel welcome. My text is much larger than I can do justice to or have the time for this morning, but this is what the Lord put on my heart, and I want to try to honor Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 1 beginning, if you would stand with me as we read, you've been sitting for just a little bit. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? He's asking a question. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What, or know ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now jump down in verse number 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What's the mystery he's talking about? The blindness of the nation of Israel. And what God's doing with the Gentiles. Amen. He said, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. And now he's not talking about those that have died and gone to hell. Amen. He's not talking about them. He's talking about in the future. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to just tell you this morning that I love you. I thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. And now, Lord, I pray that you would make preaching easy for me for just a few moments, cleanse my heart. And God, I want to honor you and I want to honor your word. I want to magnify you. Lord, let them not see me, but let them see Jesus. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, after you're seated, I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 36. Ezekiel, chapter number 36 for just a moment, and then I want you to hold that place in Romans. We're going to go back and settle there and say a few things. In Ezekiel chapter number 36, in verse number 24, "For I will take you from among the heathen." This is God's promise to the Jew. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." In Ezekiel chapter number 36, the Lord gives a prophecy concerning the regathering of the nation of Israel. In chapter number 37, the Lord expands that prophecy by giving a picture of it in the raising up of these dry bones. Somebody said they were Baptist bones because they were dry. Amen. But it is a picture. He said in Ezekiel 37 and verse 21, "And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land." I'd like to preach for just a few moments on this thought: God is not through with the Jew. Amen. God is not through with the Jew. And I'm glad He's not. In our text that I read in Romans chapter number 11, there's a few things that, and I'm not going to develop this, I'm just going to show it to you. But in verse number 1, we see that God is not through with the nation of Israel because of the fact of a remnant in verses 1 through 10. And when you look at this, Paul speaks personally of himself. He said, "God hath not cast away His people." He said, "For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham." He said, "I'm proof that God's not through with a Jew." And then he looks to the past in verses 2 through 4, and he gives us the story of in the days of Elijah, when God had 7,000 in verse number 4 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And then he talked about the present tense in his day in verses 5 through 7, when he said, "Even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace." In other words, the nation of Israel as a whole, they rejected Jesus. The Bible said in John 1:11 that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But aren't you glad for the next verse? "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Amen. I'm glad God's included us Gentiles in this program. And that's what chapter 11's all about. You'll see the fact of a remnant. You'll see the fact of the revelation of God beginning in verse number 11 and going all the way down through verse number 32. God shows us the purpose of the fall of the nation of Israel, of the Jewish people, and it was that the thought that of salvation might come to the Gentiles. He also gives us he gives the analogy of the olive tree, how the natural branches were broken off and the Gentiles, as a wild olive branch, was grafted into that. And we're partakers of the blessings and the inheritance that God gave to Abraham and to the nation of Israel. But what I want to deal with this morning, and I'm going to have to do it in a hurry, what I want to deal with is just the fact of God's record. The record that we have that God's not through with a Jew, amen. When God started with Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, God made some promises to him concerning the land, amen. He promised him a seed. He promised that he would make a great nation out of him. He promised him that he would bless his seed. He also promised him that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And I want to say to you that the Allison family in Demorest, Georgia, amen, my two daughters and their families, my family is blessed because of what God did with Abraham. When you look in the Word of God, you'll find that we as believers are identified with at least three men in seeing the work of God. We see that when we look at Adam, we know that we are identified with Adam because in Adam we see the need of our salvation. Because for by one man sin entered into the world, amen, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so when we look at ourselves and identify ourselves with Adam, we see then that we're lost and in need of a Savior. But then when you look at Abraham, and I know that he was the father of the nation of Israel, and God started to work in him. But when you look at Abraham in the light of what God is doing for the believer, you'll see that just as we see our need of salvation in the person of Adam, we see the access to that salvation in the person of Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And he believed upon the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Amen. Abraham is the man of faith. And Paul goes at great length in the writings of Romans and the book of Galatians to show us that Abraham was justified by faith apart from the works of the law. 400 years before the law was given, God made promises, amen, in a covenant to Abraham. You and I today that are the church, we're not the Jew, amen. I didn't come this morning to split theological hairs and all of that, but I'm preaching, okay? And so let me just say this. Anyway, amen, we see our access to salvation through the person of Abraham. But when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, we see the provision of that salvation. So when you consider these three men, Adam, our federal head as far as the natural race is concerned, Jesus, our spiritual head as far as the new man and the work of God is concerned. But in Abraham, God teaches us that it is by faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Amen. I like to think of it like this. A grace is the avenue and the means by which God reaches down to lost man, but it is faith. And this is the program and the plan that God has given us. It is faith that we lay hold of the promises of God and believe Him. Men, women, boys, and girls, people, listen, the only reason that people die and go to hell, the Bible said in John chapter 3, that he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. I like what the preacher said. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in Bible election, Bible predestination, and all of that. But it does not erase or eradicate the freedom or the responsibility that we have in receiving. And that's what Abraham teaches us. But I think about this. God made all these promises to Abraham. And all through the Old Testament, we see that the nation of Israel, how that they backslid on God. And how that they rebel. We see when Jacob went down into Egypt there, and his sons, Joseph was down there, and he went down into Egypt, and they stayed for 400 years in Egypt. And we know that the Egyptians kindly assimilated them and swallowed them up and eventually enslaved them. And it might be from those that were observing on the outside, one might think that the nation of Israel was no longer that little handful that went down into Egypt. Even though they had grown to a great nation, it may have appeared like it was all over with them, but God was not through. Amen. There was a little baby born one day, and his name was Moses. Amen. And God had a plan for Moses. The first 40 years he was in Egypt. The second 40 years he was on the backside of the desert. The first 40 years God was working for him. The next 40 years God was working in him. And the final 40 years of his life, God was working through him. And he goes back into Egypt and he delivers the nation of Israel out of that Egyptian bondage. He gets them out and he leads them for 40 years. And then Moses dies. The outward observer may say, well, this probably over with now. The man that they looked to for all this time period, he's dead now. But God had another man by the name of Joshua, amen, that led them into the land of Canaan. When they got into the land of Canaan and settled it, while they were living under the period of the judges, you'll find out that they would go into apostasy. They would backslide on God, and God would bring nations against them to judge them. And what would God do? He would raise up a judge among them and deliver them out from the hand of their oppressors. All I'm trying to say this morning is that all through the record of the Word of God and the history of the nation of Israel, it appeared from time to time to time that it was over for them. the Jew. But God was not through. Amen. The nation of Israel split in the days of the reign of Solomon's son. The 10 northern tribes made their headquarters around Samaria. The 2 southern tribes in Judah. In 722 BC, the 10 northern tribes went into Assyrian captivity, assimilated, taken them in, and it looked as though they were gone. Between 605 and 587 BC, the nation of Babylon came down against the 2 tribes of Judah, and he took them into Babylonian captivity, and it looked like all hope was gone. The temple was destroyed. The cities were torn down. But in that 70 years in Babylon, God raised up a man by the name of Daniel that began to prophesy of the day that God was going to bring them back. Amen. And God did something else in the days that they were in that 70-year captivity. God touched a man by the name of Ezra. God touched a man by the name of Zerubbabel. And God touched a man by the name of Nehemiah. And through the efforts of those men, they began to lead those people back to the land of Israel. They built that wall back, built that temple back. God is not through with a Jew. You hearing me? Amen. Amen. They never had another king after that, and they went on and on, but they kept going into apostasy. We hit between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 silent years. God hadn't said a word from heaven from a prophet, and it looked like all hope was lost. They were living under the oppressions, a dear friend of the Roman government. 400 years kindly reminds you of the 400 years they were down in Egypt, doesn't it? But there was a baby born after the 400 years in Egypt. And after the 400 silent years, there was not only one baby born, there was 2 babies born. Amen. One of them was named John Baptist. Amen. And he came preaching that there's one coming after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Amen. Oh, John was that voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then 6 months later, our friend the Lord Jesus was born. When the angel came to Mary, she told him that he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. God is not through with a Jew. Amen. I hope you're getting the point this morning. God's not through with a Jew. The Bible says, as I've already said, Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. A friend, if you'll open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. If you'll go to Matthew chapter 4 and verses number 17, you'll find the Bible said from that time Jesus began to preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And listen, what he was doing in Matthew 4:17 when he was preaching the kingdom, a friend, he was preaching as the son of David. But the nation of Israel rejected him. In Matthew chapter number 10, he sent his disciples out and said, don't go to the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But by the time you get to Matthew chapter number 12, there is a religious conspiracy by the religious leaders to have him put to death. And then by the time you get to Matthew chapter 16, things have turned a lot. And Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said this, he said, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto them how that he must suffer and die and be raised again. In other words, in Matthew 4:17, he started preaching as the son of David, but the nation of Israel were rejecting him. When you get over to Matthew 16, he then began to preach as the son of Abraham because he saw a wider scope in view. It was all the world that God was going to bless through him. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, God's not through. Amen. They crucified our Lord. They killed John the Baptist. God wasn't done. They crucified our Lord. He was a Jew. They put him on the cross. The world might have said it's over. Matter of fact, those 2 disciples on the Emmaus Road, when Jesus joined them after the resurrection, he said, why do you look so depressed? Amen. And they said, you hadn't heard? They killed this man. We thought it was he that was going to redeem. redeem Israel. Their hope was lost. They thought it was all over, but God was not through. Amen. They crucified Jesus, but on that third day, that Jew, amen, that Jew came up from the grave. Amen. God wasn't through. In Acts chapter number 1, the disciples, before Jesus ascended back to heaven, the disciples asked him, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his hands." And friends, so the church was born. Amen. That's the way I preach it now. The church was born, amen. Jew and Gentile, when they killed John the Baptist, they rejected God the Father. When they crucified the Son, they rejected God the Son. And in the book of Acts, when they stoned Stephen, they were rejecting God the Holy Ghost. And friend, that seal, the blindness to the nation of Israel. You listening to me, friend? But God's not through. When Jesus, on the last few days of his life, he rode into Jerusalem, and in the last time he was in the temple, he said this. He said, "Your house is left unto you desolate, and you'll not see me henceforth until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." They crucified him just a day or two after that. Oh, listen, friend. Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years. In A.D. 70, I've got to preach fast so you can get all this before my time's up. In A.D. 70, the Roman army came. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem, killed approximately 1 million Jews. They say that they literally stripped the land of the timber. Every road going in Jerusalem had crosses on either side of it, and Jews crucified as far as you could see. Josephus said that when the Roman army broke into the city and finally began the fight, that the blood ran so thick on the ground that it extinguished the ground fires, and the Jews were dispersed and scattered into all parts of the world. And it looked like, humanly speaking, that God was through with a Jew, but he's not, friend. Whoa, he's not. The land of Israel lay over there, a friend, for about 1,800 years, desolate, occupied by Arabs and everybody else. The Ottoman Turks had it from 15 until 1917. And what I like about this, a friend, is that the timing of God. Listen now, I'll give you a little history. The first 300 years of the church, the early church fathers preached and believed the second coming of Jesus. They preached and believed the kingdom age. You'll read that Paiphas did, Barnabas did, Polycarp did. Many of the church fathers for the first 300 years believed in the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus. Along came a man by the name of Origen out of Alexandria, Egypt, and then he was followed by Augustine, that theologian for the Roman Catholic Church, and both of these men began to teach another method of Bible interpretation called the allegorical method. And with that allegorical method, they taught that the Roman Church was the kingdom of God on the earth, and they, in other words, they ended up being amillennial because they didn't want to believe and accept the fact that there was coming a kingdom. They believed that they were the kingdom, but that didn't matter. God wasn't through with a Jew. Amen. Amen. And then long about the 1500s, men like Tyndale and Erasmus, they begin to go back to that literal method of Bible interpretation, and the Reformation was founded on the literal interpretation of the Word of God. And long about that time, just so coincidence, I guess some might say, God gave us the 1611, amen, put the English Bible in the hand of the common man. And then along about that time, with the printing of the King James Bible, and friend, the Bible in English language, we find then that men began to preach once again that Jesus was coming. They begin to study it out for themselves instead of having some pope with a Bible chained to the pulpit, amen, tell them what the Word of God said. God's timing was just right. There in 1814, there was a Presbyterian preacher by the name of John MacDonald in Albany, New York. He began to preach on Bible prophecy and Israel's restoration and them coming back to the land of Israel. In 1878, a man by the name of W.E. Blackstone printed a book entitled Jesus is Coming. He published it, encouraging the Jews to return to the land of Israel. Between 1881 and 1900, approximately approximately 30,000 Jews left Russia, fleeing persecution, and come to the land of Israel. In 1897, the first Zionist movement convened in Basel, Switzerland, and it was their desire to create a homeland for the nation of Israel. All of this is not coincidental. It's the sovereign hand of God moving, dear friend, to bring about His plan and His program for the nation of Israel. Can I say this real fast? Prophecy. Somebody said, well, why is people always interested in that? And I've been preaching in a lot of prophecy conferences the last few years, and this is what the Lord put on my heart. And a lot of folks think you're wasting your time, but I'm going to give you something right here. It's as much a part of the Word of God as anything else. And God may not give that gift to everybody to get a hold of it. I understand that. But let me tell you, prophecy is a display of the sovereignty of God. God moving His hands in the affairs of man, moving nations and doing what He does. Prophecy is a declaration of God's wisdom. Wow, God's got all of this stuff worked out. Prophecy is a demonstration of God's immutability. He said in Malachi 3:6, He said, for I am the Lord God, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason God's not through with the nation of Israel is because He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He's going to keep that covenant. God made a covenant with David, and He's going to keep that covenant. Amen. You listening to me? In 1917, the British Army marched their troops. Allenby marched his troops to the land of Israel, went and took the city of Jerusalem from the Ottoman Turks, liberated it, and they wrote up what's called the Balfour Declaration, calling for a friend, a state for the nation of Israel. Between 1924 and 1939, 78,000 Polish Jews come to Palestine. Between 1933 and 1939, 230,000 Jews flee persecution in Germany and Central Europe. Between 1940 and 1948, 95,000 Jews escape Hitler's Nazi Germany and move to Israel. In 1946, the United Nations was formed, and on November the 29th of 1947, backed and pushed by the United States of America and our president, they called for a vote and a resolution calling for the establishment of a Jewish nation. I wonder, is God through with the Jew? The answer is no, neighbor. In 1948, on May the 14th, they ran up that little Jewish flag, declared that they were a nation. Amen. You listening to me? And let me say this, the next day they had to go to war. The next day they had to go to war. There was approximately 670,000 Jews, and they were boarded on every side by Arabs that hated them, did not want to see them become a state. Listen to me now. They had Egypt, Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, all of them amassed against them, the nation of Israel. They had only one rifle. Here's God now. They had only one rifle for every five troops. They were outnumbered, or for every five men, one rifle for every five men. They were outnumbered 40 to 1 in troops, 1,000 to 1 in military equipment, 5,000 to 1 in landmass. Would you like to know who won the war? Amen. Can't happen. Can't happen. It did happen. Dr. Chaim Wiseman, the first president of Israel, said, you hear what I'm about to read to you. He said the Jewish nation is a ghost nation. Only the God of Israel. Woo! God told Moses, he said, you go down there and you tell them that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you. And then God said, and this is my name. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jew. And He's my God this morning. Amen. My God. Amen. Oh, I bless His holy name. I bless His holy name and I magnify His wisdom and His sovereignty and His power and His plan. In 1956, they went to war in what's called the Sinai War. They were fighting Egypt, Syria, backed by Russian aid, and Israel won the war. Amen. In the Six-Day War in 1967, Syria was again backed by Russia. Egypt put 90,000 men on the ground, 900 troops in the Sinai Desert. They were supported by Iraq and Jordan. You know what happened in 67? God wasn't through with a Jew. The West Bank fell to the Jews. The Syrians lost the Golan Heights to the Jews. Egypt lost the Gaza Strip to the Jews. And Israel claimed all of Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, I could go on, but I'm running out of time. But I just want you to know, friend, and when you talk about prophecy, people say this. Well, somebody said, well, I'm a pan-millennialist. What's that? God's just going to pan it all out. I don't understand it. And one fella said, he's surprised. He said, I'm a post-millennial, a country man, mountain man. He said, I'm a post-millennial. He said, a post-millennial? Yeah, he said, the Lord's supposed to come. I'm supposed to go with Him, you know. I'll take that. And some of you may be like the preacher interviewing at a church to be a pastor. And they asked him, they said, preacher, are you premillennial or amillennial? He said, I'm prepared to preach it either way. Amen. Prepared to preach it either way. Well, I didn't come to prepare to preach it either way. I'm telling you, friend, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. We'll not know who He is. He will not be revealed till the church is taken out. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And then, you know what's going to happen then? In Ezekiel chapter number 38, there's a northern invasion coming down out of Russia, Germany. Those nations are going to come down against Israel. God's going to destroy them in the mountains of Israel. In Daniel chapter number 11, there's an invasion of the Antichrist and his army as he moves that European army into the Middle East. In Revelation chapter number 16, under one of the vile judgments, the kings of the East are going to become and invading the Middle East, and then there'll be armies from all around the world coming. But God's not through. There's another invasion, and it's coming from outer space. Amen. And you know who's leading the forces? A Jew. A Jew. God's not through with a Jew, amen. And He's going to put down the powers of this world. He's going to bring everything under the subjection. You see, what Adam could not do, study this out, what Adam could not do in subduing everything that God had created, Jesus, as the last Adam, is going to subdue it. That's what the purpose of the kingdom age is all about, is for the Son of God to rule on this earth as a man and bringing the creation of God under subjection. And it's going to be a Jewish authority. Authority, amen, sitting on the throne in Israel. Praise God. God's not through. Amen. I'm done.